that you are welcome here. God is here and some loving folks are here, and we hope you can take the next hour to renew or rest or revitalize. I'm Barbara Fote. I'm a member of the congregation. I will also say today that I'm a faculty member at the university, because today is the day when we have a lot of new university students. So welcome to anyone who is new, but particularly to people affiliated with the university. We have a brochure that I will try to get to you, because I'm one of the people of the welcome team, that tells you about our mission and ministry. You should have a bulletin. It's an abbreviated service, and everything will be on the screen at the front. And I hope inside that folded, shortened bulletin, you found two slips of paper. The one will be just the beige one we'll talk about later, but if you'll grab the yellow one, please. We would love to have contact information for new people. We would also love to have everybody who's here for the 50th or 75th year fill this out, so we know that you are here. And then on the flip side, there is a place if you have a prayer request that you would like shared during the service. You can put it there, and you can click. It can be read only in worship or published in the newsletter or both or neither. These will be picked up if you have a prayer slip in the middle of the service. And if you don't, just hang on to it, and you can just drop it right in the offering plate. We have restrooms and childcare out this door. There should be signs to guide you. And through either door, behind the altar area here, is our gathering room, where there may be some cool iced tea and things after the service, so we can get to know you and have some fellowship time. And I would remind you that we have a safe sanctuary policy, which means that children should always be accompanied wherever they are in the building. And now let us continue our worship.
Good morning. And now this is your time to pick some of your favorite hymns to be heard today. So please raise your hand if you have a suggestion. Yes. 347. Is that correct? Okay. Spirit Song. Do we have someone else who'd like to choose a hymn today? Yes. 96. Let's see. Praise the Lord who reigns above.
Praise the Lord who reigns above on King.
We've had so many already this summer. You can see we have a slide with all of the ones we've sung already. So let's see if we can find something else that we haven't already sung this summer. Yes, Gwen. 378. I'll get you next one, Gwen. 378. One more, yes. 277. And remember, if you haven't gotten to request your hymn this summer, if you weren't called upon, we have a really neat service coming up next week where you can put your requests down today on these slips. Okay, they're with your bulletin. So you can put your request. Please write which hymn you'd like sung and why. And so you'll have that opportunity next week. Mm-hmm. And it will go right in the offering basket. Yep. So 277. Good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Alicia. I am the pastor here, and I am so happy to share a warm welcome with each and every one of you. Welcome to this space. I hope you feel at home here. So Amy already talked about the hymn sing Sunday, which is next week. So be sure, today's your last day to put in your selection for the hymn sing. So be sure to fill that out so we can get all the hymns in for next week. Our worship series is entitled, Why Wesley? John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church, and as many of you know, last month I went to Manchester, England, and did some studying on the Wesleyan tradition in the 21st century context. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, not so much, but you know what, throughout the year, I know my experiences will influence what we talk about, because it was a really wonderful experience and I learned a lot. John Wesley paired personal holiness with social holiness. This has often been misinterpreted to mean social justice, but John Wesley meant holiness is social because God is social. God created human beings in God's own image to be relational creatures. We become more fully human when we share in the relationship God initiates with us through the people he places in our way. Social holiness is about loving your neighbor as yourself, which of course can lead to standing up for justice. As Susanna Wesley's prayer we are saying at the end of the service tells us, we can't do religion locked up in a closet by ourselves. During this worship series, we will be focusing on hymns written by Charles Wesley as well, who is John's brother. And you might be wondering why I'm standing on the side of an island talking to all of you. Well, that's because VBS was this week and we were shipwrecked. And so that's why I'm standing here on the side of the edge of the island near the water. Okay, so the children will have more to share later on today. The words of our theme song for this series are a short...
from a short saying that has been attributed to John Wesley. So please rise in body or spirit and join in singing The Rule of Life.
Do all the good you can.
Good morning. My name is Jackie Sadowski, and I'm your liturgist this morning. Our call to worship is a prayer by John Wesley. Please remain standing and join me in the words displayed on the screen. O God, seeing as there is a Christ Jesus, an infinite fullness of all that we can, want, and desire, may we all receive from him grace upon grace, grace to pardon our sins and subdue our iniquities, to justify our persons and to sanctify our souls, and to complete the holy change that renewal of our hearts, which will enable us to be transformed in the blessed image in which you created us. Oh, make us all acceptable to the partakers of the inheritance of your saints in light. Amen. Grace abounds. Grace-filled people surround you. Take a moment to share the love of Christ with each other with a handshake, a fist bump, or a high five. When you hear the music, that's your sign that it's time to return to your seats as children come forward.
Well, we are going to start our Vacation Bible School presentation. So we'd like to start it with this really great welcoming song. So let's go.
Good morning. So this is our group for Vacation Bible School 2018, where our theme was shipwrecked. And hopefully you all have enough energy, because I'm going to say the five things that we learned, and at the end, they will say, who rescues us? So, when we're lonely. Sorry, I still can't hear you. When we're lonely.
Jesus.
When we worry.
Jesus.
When we struggle.
Jesus.
When we do wrong.
Jesus.
Oh, very good. So the next two songs were two of our favorites. One is Lighthouse and one is I Am. We had the best times doing Bible story, and we had snacks, and we had music, and we had crafts, and we had games, and it was so fun to see you over and over again every night this week. And if you volunteered or brought in supplies, I'd like you to please stand so that we can recognize everyone who made Vacation Bible School possible. So thank you to everyone, and then all I need are big smiles, and we're going to do the best that we can do.
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing what you learned, part of a little bit of what you learned. And I think that if you remember that you're holding on to Jesus every time you go through a struggle, you'll be good all your life. Not good like everything's okay, but good like you have that strength behind you. And I'm hoping everyone out here will remember that through your message today. So thank you for coming up and joining us and doing this. And you can go sit with whoever brought you. Thank you, everybody.
If someone or something is on your heart today and you would like your prayer read as part of worship, please pass your prayer slip to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. Feel free to choose to be a singer or a listener as we continue our prayer time singing a Charles Wesley hymn, Jesus United by Thy Grace, number 561 in the hymnal and displayed on the screen. Dennis will play it through one time for us first.
As we move into a time of prayer, we want to be prayerful about the many ongoing ministries here and our activities. And so here are some opportunities to put your faith into action or to help build fellowship and community. And speaking of fellowship and community, how many of you like ice cream? So right after the service, are we going to do it outside? We're going to do it in the fellowship hall downstairs. We're going to have an ice cream social. Free ice cream for anybody that wants. So instead of what I told you before, go back to the gathering room, just find the stairs out that way, go down and have a bowl of ice cream. And get to, yeah, that's right. And that's a great chance for us to get to know each other. So ice cream downstairs right after the service. We're also thinking that we need to learn about different topics as Christians, and so there are teach-ins that you'll find on the back of your bulletin, one on opioids and one on the rule of law. Those are coming up, and there's many other opportunities for fellowship, for learning, and for ministry that are in the bulletin that I would call your attention to. And now let us continue as we hear some of our prayer needs.
So I'm excited to pray about having fun, right? We need to pray about that more often. So our first prayer is to have fun and the other is to learn. Let us be in a spirit of prayer as we hold these prayer requests and ministries in our hearts. Almighty God, who has given us grace with one accord and who promises that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most beneficial for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. God, in your mercy.
We will have a period of silent prayer, followed by a short spoken prayer, and finally, the Lord's Prayer. speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language you feel closest to God. As we begin a time of silent prayer, get comfortable in your seat. Just breathe and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. God, of all power, truth, and grace, you know the needs of those people in situations mentioned and unmentioned better than we do. If it be your will, we pray that you give strength and healing power on those who are sick, lonely, sad, and afraid. May we ask for your blessing on our children, that they continue to grow in the love of the Lord. We ask that you enable us to help each other, just as you help and love us. For every soul we long to reach, hearts we hope to teach, and everywhere we share your peace, is only by your grace. Amen. Please join me now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, we are in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God builds God's kingdom with and through us. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing another familiar Charles Wesley hymn, And Are We Yet Alive, on 553 in the hymnal and displayed on the screen. Dennis will play it through one time for us first. Today's scripture is the parable of the lost sheep from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 12 to 14. Think about how risky is it to leave the flock alone and go and rescue that one lost sheep. If you would like to follow along or read further, You can find it on page 26 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Hear these words. What do you think? If a man or a woman has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, do they not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if they find it, truly I say to you, they rejoice over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of God who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Jeannie and I attended a convocation of the Reconciling Ministries Network and the Methodist Federation for Social Action with Kelly Wood and Lynn Baker last month. This is a United Methodist gathering to address justice issues, including those around LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer persons, and their life in the United Methodist Church. Our initial plan was to talk about the convocation, but we realized it was more important to talk about the issues. In 1972, as many justice issues were coming to people's consciousness, a resolution was brought to General Conference to align the rights of lesbian and gay people, affirm the rights of lesbian and gay people. However, language saying the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching was added to the resolution that turned its meaning upside down. The revised resolution was passed and the Methodist denomination began its open hostility to gay people. General conferences are held every 4 years and include representatives from Methodist churches around the globe. At each succeeding conference, more hostile language was added, with votes from conservative regions of the U.S. together with votes from other countries where Christianity was introduced as being anti-gay. In 1984, a prohibition was added that prevented LGBTQ persons from becoming pastors. And in 1996, pastors were prohibited from performing civil unions or marriages, and churches were prohibited from allowing these unions to be held in their buildings. The conflict continued through each general conference. In resistance, some Methodist conferences in more liberal parts of the country resisted these prohibitions. This ongoing and escalating conflict threatened to create a split in the denomination over this issue at the 2016 General Conference. In an effort to preserve the denomination, the conference passed a resolution directing the bishops to create a task force to find a solution to this dilemma, and then to bring a recommendation to a specially called general conference in February of 2019. The task force was aptly named the Commission on the Way Forward. It drew from Methodists around the world with varying theological viewpoints and met for 17 months. They provided a report to the Council of Bishops identifying three possible plans, and the bishops chose one called the One Church Plan. In the end, four plans are currently on the horizon, and I'll briefly describe each one of them. The traditionalist plan keeps all the oppressive practices and includes more severe punishments for churches, ministers, and conferences that try and work around these prohibitions. So in fact, it would become more hostile to LGBT persons. The Connectional Conference Plan suggests, you see I put up chaos, that's really what it is. The Connectional Conference Plan suggests that U.S. conferences would no longer be geographical, but would be designated by their stand on LGBT acceptance. So a church could join an affirming, a moderate, or a discriminatory conference based on their own theology. This would require an entire reworking of the denominational structure, which would take years to complete. The One Church Plan that the bishops endorsed removes the hateful language from the denominational rules and ends the prohibition against marriage and ordination, but inserts language that some people believe that homosexuality is contrary to Christian teaching and says it's okay to hold and to act on that belief. The upside of this plan is that it removes the language and prohibitions so churches and pastors like ours can follow their beliefs. but it leaves persons in conservative regions of the country at the mercy of the local leadership. And finally, the simple plan was proposed by the Queer Clergy Caucus. It simply removes the hateful language and does not put back any wiggle room in the rules for continued discrimination. In 1984, after the ordination prohibition was passed, a group rallied around this issue, and which has evolved into the Reconciling Ministries Network, or RMN. The goal of RMN, briefly, is full equality in membership, ordination, and marriage, and the creation of long-term solutions and practices that create full inclusion in the United Methodist Church. Currently, over 700 churches, campus ministries, and other church groups like Sunday school classes belong to the network. Our church joined RMN in 2011, as we realized that just being welcoming was not enough. We had to be more obvious and intentional about becoming welcoming, or people have heard that churches, especially Methodist churches, do not welcome LGBT persons, and families would not decide to not come and visit. So this is a picture of us marching in the Pride Parade at the State Fair on Friday evening. It was amazing how many people clapped and cheered as we went by when they saw a church marching in the parade. So with that brief background of kind of information, we're going to share some experiences that describe what welcoming and not welcoming look and feel like. And Lynn is going to tell us about her search for a church home.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lynn Baker. Some of you I know. Some of you probably heard this story before, but I'm just going to kind of briefly tell you how we found the church. So I had been a member of a Methodist church. Well, as a child, I went to Methodist church, but as I grew up and found out who I really was, you know, I thought I was no longer welcome in the church. So we had been away from it for a long time, and then Kelly and I decided that we wanted to find a church to start attending again. And it was difficult to find a church. You know, we wanted to find a church that we would be accepted at and be, that we could be ourselves at. And just for example, when we were looking for our church, two of our friends had just had a son and were looking for a church to have him baptized at, just to have a little baby baptized. And they called one church, and the church actually told them that they would not be welcome to have their son baptized at their church just because of who they were. So it was a hard process to find a church. So when I was looking for a church, how it basically happened is, I have a doctor's appointment down here in the city. I go a lot, and I always go 81. But something told me that morning, as I was waking up, someone was nudging me, and now I know it's God. And you don't mess with God. If he's telling you to do something, you do it. So finally, I listened to him, and I said, you know, I got to go a different way. I'm not going to go 81 South. I'm going to go down East Genesee Street. I had never gone that way. So I plugged it in my GPS and started driving down East Genesee Street to my doctor's office. And lo and behold, I get on the corner, and I see this huge, beautiful church. And right in front was a huge rainbow flag. And I drove by it, and I thought, this church, you know, they must, you know, accept gay people. They must be accepting. You know, we're going to belong there. They have a huge rainbow flag. That means a lot. I mean, you know, just to say you're welcoming is fine, but unless you actually go that extra step and put something out there, it really told me that this was the church for us. And the minute I got to the doctor's office, I texted Kelly and I said, guess what? I found a church we can go to, and they have a rainbow flag, and they're going to accept us. And so it was really, really, really cool to have finally found a church that, you know, we are welcome at. So.
And Kelly's going to tell us what it was like to walk through the door.
Okay, I'm Kelly. I've been a member here for now about 2 years, about that. So when we first walked through the door, we walked through those doors right over there, and someone greeted us with, like, open arms, love, everything like that. And we knew we had found a church that we could go to and that we were accepted in the church family. We could be ourselves, not turned away. We felt accepted here and thought most churches were like that until we went to the convocation in St. Louis and met people in other parts of the country or other parts of the United States that were they still had to hide who they were and were not accepted, and we were sad and angry, and that they didn't have a church like ours. And you guys are so welcoming, and I never had anybody come up and have hateful language or anything like that when we came into this church. So thank you.
So Jeannie had an experience that was... Oh, Alicia goes next. Sorry. Alicia had an experience.
Oh, I could just use my... So many of you know I came right out of seminary to this appointment. So I started seminary in fall of 2012, and I graduated in May of 2015. And it was a Methodist school, Boston University School of Theology. It is a United Methodist seminary and school, university. And so when I started, I don't know how many people were, there were 75 of us, probably half were going to be pastors, and the other half were going to go into academics. So between fall of 2012 and spring of 2015, 13 of my fellow seminarians, 13, decided to leave the United Methodist Church, and they were going to be pastors. So we're asking all the time, where are our young leaders? Where are our young leaders? And they are leaving our church in just my small little world of Boston University, one graduation class, 13 left, because either they were a member of the LGBTQ community or they knew when they became a pastor they could not fully include all persons in their ministry. And so they chose. So that's what I had to say.
To follow up on her comments, I wanted to mention Billy Klutz. Some of you remember he attended here while he obtained his master's in public administration at the Maxwell School. He grew up in the UMC in North Carolina. In fact, the district superintendent was a personal friend of his family. And when he got the call to ministry, she said she could not support him because he was gay. So it followed his calling and is now a pastor in the Presbyterian Church. We lost a good one. We've lost many caring, spiritual gifted ministers due to those pronouncements that LGBT persons cannot serve in the UMC as clergy and that clergy cannot perform gay marriages. Some like Billy become ministers in other denominations. Others become ministers while hiding their true selves only to be removed when it comes to light that they are LGBTQ. And when the church finds out that a pastor is gay or when a pastor officiates at a gay marriage, we hold a trial, and those trials cost upwards of $50,000 per trial. Some of you remember Frank Schaefer, the minister from Pennsylvania, who there was a big nationally, lots of news around his trial because he presided at his son's wedding to another man. More locally, Steve Heiss from Tabernacle in Binghamton was also brought up on charges because he officiated at his daughter's wedding to a woman and at other gay marriages. He actually retired before charges, before a trial was held. But the UMC also suffers from all that negative publicity. When a trial is held, there's lots of news about what the United Methodist Church thinks, and all that negative language is out there for everyone to see. I had a personal experience with that negative perception when my college roommate's mother died out in California. I will read her initial message that she sent me via email. "Hi, Jeannie. I think you belong to a Methodist church in Syracuse. Am I right? Is it United Methodist? Why do I care, you ask? Well, we've been working on scheduling a memorial service for Mom, and we're going to use the Lafayette United Methodist Church just a couple of blocks from our house. I like their pastor, both the initial info on their website and our meeting with her. However, Liz, who was like a sister to Mom, has raised an objection to the UMC's stance on gay marriage. My research seems to indicate that the church as a whole is discussing LGBT issues and has significant regional differences. The Lafayette Church's website states that all are welcome, but they don't go into details. Liz may refuse to come, and I would hate to exclude her. I would also hate to start the whole search over again, having finally gotten my brother to agree to a date and a location. Can you shed any light on this? Thanks. My response started with, yes, I'm a member of University United Methodist Church. And I ended with, many good people are working hard to spread the love and inclusion in the UMC. I briefly summarized the history that Ted had told us about this morning and the work that RMN has been doing, and highlighted both the inclusivity of our university, UMC, and also of the Western jurisdiction, which gave Reverend Frank Schaefer the opportunity to restart his career in California and elected Bishop Karen Olivito as the first openly gay bishop. After my friend shared my thoughts and websites with Liz, she did ultimately attend the funeral of the Lafayette UMC. I want to close with this statement from John Wesley, since we're studying John Wesley, that says, do not rashly tear asunder. And I think that's our goal, is to keep the United Methodist Church together.
So the bottom line is this. The General Conference next February is an historic moment. Will we come together? Will we split? Or will we just keep tearing each other apart? RMN is working with another group called the Uniting Methodists to pass the One Church plan. While it's not all we would hope for, it keeps the denomination together, takes away the discriminatory language, and provides the church a way forward into a more inclusive future. This work will include what you see on the screen, holding conversations with all U.S. delegates to General Conference, developing contact databases, sponsoring events for non-U.S. delegates to help them imagine a more inclusive future, and having a major presence in St. Louis for the February General Conference. This decision will not alter how this church goes about living out its faith, but it could bring down the denominational structure that in many other ways does wonderful things here and around the world and provides significant resources to us as we do our ministry. Each Sunday we've been singing, do all the good you can to all the people you can. The parable of the lost sheep we heard today emphasizes the importance of welcoming each one into our flock or fellowship. Well, we came back from convocation realizing we needed to put our money where our mouth is as a reconciling congregation. We have set a goal of raising $10,000 in the next 4 weeks to send to RMN to support their efforts to lead the United Methodist Church into a more inclusive future. Each of us have already made a pledge, and at this point we have a total of $3,100 towards our goal. We have done this before as a church. Last year we raised over $10,000 for Blessings in a Backpack in under a month. Back in the 1980s, when dollars were worth more, and the church was on shaky financial footing, we raised $10,000 after church one Sunday to replace a broken boiler in the middle of the winter. The boiler is broken in the middle of the winter moment. We are asking each person to consider a gift that is substantial from your own financial perspective. This is not a part of regular giving to this church for our ongoing ministries. This is a one-time request to restate our commitment as a church to equality and to create a more just future for our denomination. You can respond with a check with RMN written on the memo line or use a credit card through our church website using the QR code on your bulletin. Please feel free to talk to any of us about this cause. I would like to close by asking Pastor Alicia to offer a prayer for our success in this effort and for our denomination.
So last night I kind of tossed and turned because I knew that this was a day where we were going to be working, seeing the children do this great stuff, and then we were going to talk about these hard issues in our church. And it's kind of, an odd situation to put ourselves in. And I was reminded in my head as I was tossing and turning of the greatest commandment that Jesus told us about. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And number two, the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And so it seems like when we decide as human beings who we might hate, that we're not paying attention to Jesus' commandments. So we need to keep that in the forefront of our mind as we spread this love, God's love. And I saw a TED shirt this morning. Be careful who you hate. It could be someone you love. And we don't know. We don't know. So we don't know who is who and what is what. So what we do know is that we'll pray right now for this uncertain future, and our plead, I guess is the word, to keep our church together, but keeping love as the number one ultimate goal as we move forward. So will you pray with me? Loving and merciful God, be with us today as we talk about odd things that might be a little awkward as we sit in our seat in church. Be with us that we might know that your love is bigger than anything we could ever, ever, ever imagine, and that your love envelops each of us, each of God's children, whether we are gay or straight, tall or short, right-handed or left-handed. Be with each of us that we might think about and wrestle with the question, what might I be able to give with this cause, this one-time ask? Be with us as we think about this. Be careful who I might hate because it might be someone I actually love. And I pray all these challenging, hard things, trusting in you and trusting that you will guide each of us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Committed persons have been worshiping here in this congregation for 150 years. You are now part of that living tradition. Our response to God's infinitality, generous grace, can no longer be less than our own generosity. If you are first-time visitors, we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. Don't forget to put your attendance slips and hymns sing Sunday selections that look like the white piece of paper we showed you earlier into the offering plate. The ushers will collect the offering as we are blessed with music.
You can hear me, or if you're even there. I don't know if you will listen to a humble prayer. They tell me I am just an outcast, I shouldn't speak to you. Still I see your face and wonder, were you once an outcast too? Don't find on earth the lost and forgotten, they look to you still. God help the outcast, or nobody will. I ask for nothing, I can't get by, but I know so many less lucky than I. God help the outcast, the poor.
Imagine God's love infusing everything you do. Please remain standing and join me in a prayer of dedication in the words of Susan Wesley, John's mother. These words were embroidered on her apron. Help me, Lord, to remember that religion is not to be confined to the church or closet, nor exercised only in prayer and meditation, but that everywhere I am in thy presence, so may my every word and action have a moral content. May all the happenings of my life prove useful to me. May all the things instruct me and afford me an opportunity for exercising some virtue and daily learning, growing toward thy likeness. Amen. Please remain standing and join me in singing a hymn familiar to longtime Methodists, once to every man in nation. But we will sing the words, once to every church and Christian, displayed on the screen. This is not a Wesley hymn, but I don't think there is a more appropriate hymn for us to sing in this moment of decision.
Once to every church and Christian comes to moment to decide in the strife of truth with falsehood, are the good or evil side. Some great cause God's new Messiah offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice is void forever 'twixt that darkness and that light. Then to side with truth is noble when we share her wretched crust, ere her cross drink fame and profit,
and 'tis prosperous to be just. Then it is the brave one chooses, while the coward stands aside, till the multitude make virtue of the faith that they deny. The light of burning martyrs, Christ thy blazing feet we track, toiling up to Calvary's ever, with the cross that turns not back. New occasions teach new duties, thine makes ancient good uncouth. They must upward, still and onward, who would keep abreast of truth? Though the cause of evil prosper, yet his truth alone is strong. Though her portion be the scaffold, and upon the throne be wrong, let that scaffold sway the future, and behind the dim unknown, and lift up within the shadow, keeping watch above God's home.
Let's not forget ice cream in a few minutes. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Son, the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.